Hello and welcome to the Monday, March 23rd, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Houston, Texas. And CanSec West is underway again, and with that, of course, the infamous Pwn2Own contest in the first round. All browsers were compromised, so that includes Firefox, Safari, Chrome, and Internet Explorer. Particularly Internet Explorer is sort of interesting. They did compromise the 64-bit version of Internet Explorer 11, so that's the latest and greatest version, and we're also able to escape the sandbox using some privileged JavaScript injection. For Google Chrome, it was actually then possible to leverage problems with kernel-level drivers and gain full system access. Now, for Apple Safari, it was also possible to gain remote code execution on OS X and bypass the sandbox. Now, one thing that was sort of pointed out in articles that these attacks were rather fast. I think 11 seconds for the first browser to fall. Now, this does not, of course, include the time to develop the exploit. That's essentially just running the tool that implements the exploit. All of these exploits are right now not yet patched. However, all the browser manufacturers are participating in this contest, and they should have patches out shortly. The vulnerabilities themselves are kept private until that time. One of the hot topics at CanSec West this year was exploitation of the BIOS and of course also its successor, UEFI. One interesting exploit that affected machines using a BIOS was that the attacker was able to reflash the BIOS remotely. So the attacker only needs system level access to the system they're trying to compromise, and then they can get persistent access by reflashing the BIOS. One particular target here, for example, was the secure operating system Tails. If you haven't heard of Tails, Tails is an operating system based on Linux that focuses on privacy. So, for example, it uses Tor for browsing, also encrypts everything pretty good. With this BIOS exploit, you can now grab the PGP keys that Tails relies on from memory. And of course, since this does not run as part of the operating system, there's really no way for the operating system to protect itself. As far as UEFI goes, one of the special features of UEFI is that additional modules can be loaded, and with that, of course, also malicious modules can be loaded. For the end user, not a lot you can do really to protect yourself. A couple of systems have hardware switches that prevent flashing off the BIOS. And once you do see a system that's compromised with one of these vulnerabilities, if you ever find out, there isn't really too much you can do to fix it, because some of these exploits can also prevent future flashing off the system. Luckily, so far, these exploits haven't really been seen sort of in the wild very much. A couple of high-profile attacks have used similar exploits. As a normal user, probably the simplest and best thing you can do to prevent some of these attacks, not all attacks, is to maintain physical control of your systems. These attacks are a lot easier if the attacker has physical control of the system. So the typical evil mate attack, where a system is unattended in a hotel room or such, an attacker could then use the system to infect it. And Apple started to remove antivirus software from the iOS App Store. The reason, according to Apple, is that this software is really misleading in what its capabilities are. Now, one of the makers of antivirus software, Intego, did elaborate a little bit and on their interaction with Apple. Essentially, the problem sort of is if you install antivirus on a normal PC. What you expect is that this antivirus will scan your entire system. Now in iOS, that's not really possible. All software is running inside a sandbox, and you can't really access files outside that sandbox unless the user gives specific permission, and even that permission has to be given for certain other areas. So for example, Intego software could only scan email attachments, and they could scan files on cloud services. But for example, if you do install a malicious app, there's nothing Intego could do to even detect this. This has been sort of a little bit a sticking point with a lot of security vendors that would like to offer antivirus for iOS. However, on the other hand, this restriction to a sandbox also restricts what malicious software could do, and as part of the code review that Apple performs as it accepts applications into the iOS store, they do make sure that they stick within their sandbox. For OS X, there is a similar rule for applications being delivered via the App Store. However, with OS X, you of course can install applications from outside the App Store as well. And then just a quick update on a diary. On Thursday, Lenny published a diary about ransomware and sort of the companies that actually produce it. He did publish sort of a follow-up and also updated this first diary with a couple more details. So if you're interested in that, it really makes a good read and explains a little bit on how the different redirects work that actually lead users to this ransomware. That's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.